recording.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
First reading is from Psalm 19, 1-4, for the Director of Music, the Psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they call forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. Our second reading is Exodus 3, 1-4, Moses and Burning Bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And the last reading is 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen.
Thank you, Emil. So, there are Bibles there in front of you. If you'd like to open up firstly to Psalm 19. So, throughout January, we're going to be doing a series on shun words in the Bible. That's words in the Bible that end in T-I-O, and words like revelation, substitution, salvation, redemption, and so on. And we'll do the same thing next January in 2020 as well. But let me pray first for God to help us in our understanding. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word read. We pray that it penetrates our hearts and minds this morning, teaches us what we need to learn, and help us to respond to your word this morning too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first shun word is revelation, so we better define what revelation is. It means, according to the Oxford Dictionary, the making known of something that was previously secret or unknown. Or it can also mean a surprising and previously unknown fact that has been disclosed to others. Which reminds me of a story I heard recently where a young girl had a startling revelation about her mum. One day a little girl noticed that her mum had several strands of white hair sticking out of her mummy's beautiful brunette hair. And she looked at her mum and inquisitively asked, why are some of your hairs white, mummy? Her mum replied, well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white. So the little girl thought about this stunning revelation for a while, and then she said, Mummy, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white? That's kind of not the revelation we're looking at this morning, but gives you an idea of what the word means anyway. Now, when it comes to God, there are two ways that he reveals to us what was previously unknown. And those two ways are general revelation and special revelation. Now, general revelation refers to the general truths that can be known about God just by observing nature. And special revelation refers to the more specific truths that can be known about God through supernatural means. Okay? So let's look at general revelation first. And we saw that in our reading from Psalm 19, if you want to turn there. Psalm 19. It'll be on the screen anywhere. Anyway. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. So according to Psalm 19, God's existence and power can be clearly seen just by observing the universe around us. It's like creation is speaking to us, the psalm is saying, but without words, just with pictures, like looking in a picture book. The order, the intricacy, and the wonder of creation speak about the existence of a powerful and glorious Creator God. So we can either look at all of creation and say to ourselves, all this happened by accident, or we can say to ourselves, there's a Creator God who created all things and keeps it all together. So applying this to our lives today, if we look out at night and we see the moon and stars and planets, we can go, wow, look what God created. Or if we look out during the day and we see a sunrise or a sunset or oceans or beaches or tides or mountains and valleys or trees and flowers and animals, we can go, wow, look what God created. And when we look at the birth of a baby, and each baby born is a miracle, and we saw that this morning with time, he was born not able to swallow, but every baby is a miracle gift from God. We can look around and God's handiwork is all around us. That's general revelation of God's handiwork. Now the Apostle Paul picks up this idea of general revelation in Romans chapter 1 verse 20. He says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal, which means everlasting power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So like Psalm 19, Romans 1:20 teaches that God's eternal power and divine nature is clearly seen and understood from what he's made. And there is no excuse for denying that a Creator God exists. Yet some people still today doubt that God exists or don't believe God exists. Now with these scriptures in mind, Psalm 19 and Romans 1:20, we could perhaps come up with a more interesting definition of general revelation and say it's the revelation of God to all people at all times and in all places that proves God exists and that he is intelligent, powerful, and transcendent, which means that he is above the range of normal or physical experience. That's what general revelation gives us. It shows us who God is and that he exists. And next we turn to the second type of revelation, which is special revelation. Now, special revelation is how God has chosen to reveal himself through miraculous or supernatural means. Special revelation includes physical appearances of God, dreams, visions, the written word of God, and Jesus, and most importantly, Jesus Christ himself. They're all special revelation. The Bible records God appearing in physical form many times to certain people in the Bible. So, for example, in Genesis 3, verse 8, God comes walking in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 18, verse 1, God appears to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre. And in our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, God appears to and speaks to Moses in the form of a burning bush that never burns up. It's a miraculous appearance of God. And the Bible also records God speaking to people through dreams. For example, Genesis 28, Jacob has a dream that he sees a stairway from heaven down to earth, and the angels are ascending and descending on it. And in Genesis 37, Joseph has dreams that his brothers would one day bow down to him, which later proved to be true. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, God appears to King Solomon in a dream, and he asks Solomon, "Ask for whatever you want me to give to you." And there's many more places in the Bible where God speaks to people in dreams. And God also speaks to people through visions. In Genesis 15, God appears to Abraham in a vision and makes some amazing promises. He promises Abraham a special land, which is the land of Israel, many descendants, and many blessings. And all these promises came true. Then in Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah sees a vision of heaven and what heaven looks like. And in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel sees a vision of what the Babylonian Empire, the empire that he's living in under captivity, he sees what's going to happen to that empire. And so on and so on. Lots of visions as well. Now, primary importance is the revealing of God in his holy word, the Bible, which is also a form of special revelation. God miraculously guided the authors of the Bible to correctly record his message to humankind while still letting them use their own styles and their own personalities as they wrote it. Now, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So God's words are not just historical words written in a book. What the author of Hebrews is saying is that God's words are alive and active today. So as we read God's word, his words jump out at us. And they can be like a sharp sword penetrating our thoughts and our attitudes in our hearts. And they speak to us. Which brings us to our New Testament passage from 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this tells us a bit more about God's word. And Paul, the apostle, is acknowledging to his colleague, Timothy, that Timothy's known about God's word from when he was a little child, just like the guys we had at the front earlier. And Paul explains exactly what God's word is and how useful it is. So he says to Timothy, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All the Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So how important it is to teach young people God's word. Why? Because God wants young people to grow up, to know about him, and to believe in Jesus. That's what makes God happy. That's what we said a minute ago. And because God's word makes people wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And the way that works is, as we read God's word and learn from it, it actually teaches us all that we all sin against God. And it teaches us that we can't stop sinning. And it teaches that we need someone to fix our sin. And that someone is Jesus, his son. And that his son died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven. And that Jesus rose again, so that we could be saved from sin and death, and so we could have eternal life in heaven. All of that teaching from God's word is what Paul means by God's word making us wise on how we can be saved through faith in Jesus. Paul also says that the Bible, Scripture, is God's word. It's not human beings' words. Yes, human beings wrote it down, but God breathed out the words for them to write it down. And Paul says that God's word, as we read it, it teaches us about God. We learn about God's character. It teaches us about Jesus. We learn about his character. It teaches us about ourselves. And it teaches us how we can live a life that's pleasing to God. And Paul says it's God's word that rebukes us, which means it can tell us off. It can show us when we've got bad behavior in what we say or what we do, and the things that God says are wrong. It shows us all of that. And it's God's word that corrects us. God shows us how we can correct our commitment to worship and love him, and correct how we treat others. And it's God's word that trains us in righteousness. It's a big word, but it just means God shows us how we can be right with him, how he can be happy with us. And that is how we can be more like Jesus in our actions, in our thoughts, and in our words, and in our character and behavior. And so Paul finally says that God's word equips us to be servants for God and to do good stuff for him. Things like loving our neighbors, helping those in need, caring for others, practicing hospitality, and sharing our faith with others. So basically, God's word is the book for life. But, and there is a but, we have to actually read it, and we actually have to study it, and we actually have to meditate on it, and we have to apply it to our lives. It's not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. And we need to do something with it. God determined to have the truth regarding him recorded in written form, because he knew the inaccuracy and unreliability of passing things on orally. You know how things get skewed when we talk to people, and before you know it, it's changed. God knew that, so it's in written form. He also understood that dreams and visions by people can be misinterpreted. So God decided to reveal everything that humanity needs to know about him and what he expects and what he has done for us in the Bible. So we can look around at creation, and that tells us there's a God. But it's only when we read the Bible and understand what it's saying that we realize how we get saved. We can't get saved by looking at the ocean. We can get saved by knowing who Jesus is and what he did for us. Which brings us to the ultimate special revelation. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus is the Word of God. And that Jesus, the Word of God, was with God in the beginning when everything was created. And in fact, it was the Word that created everything. Just by speaking, God created everything. And that Word was Jesus. And that Word became flesh, the Bible says, and became a human being. In the form of Jesus, which is what we celebrate at Christmas. The birth of the Word of God becoming a human being and living with us. And so Jesus is fully God and fully human. And so if we want to summarize how God's special revelation through Jesus actually works, we can't go any better than Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. I'm just going to read that. This is what Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. So like speaking in dreams, in visions, writing it down in the Bible for us to read. But then he says, but in these last days, that's days like today, he has spoken to us by his son Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So he's exactly like God, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sin by dying on the cross, he rose again. And then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So God became a human being in the person of Jesus to identify with us. Because he became a human, he understands humans and we understand him. And he set an example for us as he lived his life. And he taught us. And he revealed who he was to us. And most importantly, he provided salvation for us. That's one of those shun words we'll be looking at in a few weeks. He did that by humbling himself to death on a cross. Jesus Christ is the ultimate special revelation from God. So let me leave us with two challenges as we leave this morning. In terms of general revelation, I want to encourage us to look around in awe of what God has done and continues to do. Look at the moon and the stars and the planets at night. Look at the sunrise and sunset. Look at the oceans, the beaches and the tides. Look at the mountains and the valleys, the trees and the beautiful flowers, and the beautiful animals. Look at the birth of a baby, the miracle of a baby being born. A gift from God. Look at our family and friends. Look at God's handiwork all around us. And praise him for his awesomeness. We use awesome a lot, but it should really only be used for God. He's the one who's truly awesome. So that's my first challenge. Look around and see how awesome God is and praise him for that. And then the second challenge in terms of special revelation. Because God has ultimately chosen to reveal himself through his holy word and through the word made flesh, Jesus himself, we need to have that close relationship with Jesus, don't we? So as we start 2019, my challenge to all of us is to commit ourselves to a daily feeding on his word. We don't forget to eat our breakfast and lunch and dinner. We should do the same with God's word and feed off it daily. Commit to daily and constant prayer. Commit to listening to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit reveals more and more about Jesus, reveals more and more about God, reveals more and more about God's plans and purposes, reveals more and more about how to live a life pleasing to God, and reveals how we can share our faith with others. Friends, let's pray for a revival in 2019. That God can use us to reveal His Son to the young people, and there's many here this morning, and to our friends and family, and there are many here this morning, and to those who don't know Jesus, who are our friends and family, and those in our community that don't know Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you've revealed who you are through your creation, and also through your word, and ultimately through our Lord Jesus. Help us to respond this morning by appreciating how awesome you are. Help us to respond this morning by recommitting ourselves to learning more about Jesus and sharing Jesus with those who don't even know about him. We pray this in Jesus' name.